You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
With so much unfortunate news across the United States and the West in general in the early part of 2021, we're really going back many decades now, but certainly in the last few weeks, it's been unpleasant. I thought it would be a great departure to go back to showcasing activists who are impacting our people in a very positive way. And it is now this Saturday evening, February the 6th, my great honor to welcome to the Political Cesspool for the first time an old friend, Dan Eriksson of Sweden. He is the chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, and we'll be talking about that particular organization for the bulk of this hour. But Dan's much more than that. In fact, Dan has a similar story to mine in some ways. When he was 20 years old, that was around the time I was working for Pat Buchanan. He was actively involved in politics as well, serving as the vice chairman of the National Democratic Youth. In 2012, he went from politics into radio. Sounds familiar. He founded the podcast Radio Forward, which later developed into the media house Antidote, which further laid the foundation for the organization The Free Sweden, which was launched in 2017, and it became the largest ethno-nationalist organization in Sweden. And from there, of course, now we have this pan-European advocacy group, Europa Terra Nostra. But all through his time as a political activist, Dan has been engaged with the European question, not only by living in four different European countries, but by also organizing and participating in events all over the European continent. Dan is married. He has two beautiful children, and he lives in the Swedish countryside, where, again, he is staying up late to be with us tonight. Dan, thank you for doing us the honor. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me, James. It's an honor to be here, and I'm doing great. Thank you. It's getting late here, but I'm really happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much again. And I just marvel at all the interviews that one does over the course of a career. And now this will be our 17th year in radio. A couple of the interviews that really stand out to me as much as any I've ever done, and certainly two of the most enjoyable, were the ones we did back in the old days with The Antidote and Radio Forward. And those were fantastic interviews. Of course, I remember your colleagues on that broadcast as well. How do you go from, I said our stories were similar, but you certainly advanced far beyond my capabilities in building this wonderful organization that we're going to be talking about tonight. How do you go from commentator to the chairman of a group like Europa Terra Nostra?
Well, as you said in your introduction, I left politics pretty much in 2012 and went more into media, to radio production and so on. But during all these years, I would say the first 5 years of radio, I noticed that we were complaining a lot about nobody is doing what needs to be done. And after a few years, we realized that, okay, if something has to be done, we have to do it ourselves. So that was really like the kick in the behind that we needed. And for me, I'm organized as the chairman in Europa Terra Nostra, but also, as you said, in the Free Sweden project in my home country. So both of these are, I would say, equally important to me, but they work in very, very different ways.
So as you just mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, Dan is leading organizations on a nationalistic level for his home country, which, of course, we try to advocate for here as Southerners here in the occupied South in the United States, if you will. But I certainly know that longing for your own unique expression of European identity. And so you're doing that in Sweden, of course, Dan. But then you've taken it a step further And I know a lot of people are saying, well, you keep talking about this organization. What is it? What is it? Well, we're going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a long time to paint this picture, because I believe an hour only begins to scratch the surface of what Europa Terra Nostra is all about. But this is a sort of a pan-European entity that is fighting not just for the Swedes, but for all of us.
Yeah, and Europa Terra Nostra has a five-year history. We launched as an organization last year in 2020, but already in 2015 we started as a sort of a think tank. And thanks to my traveling around Europe and also the work of my colleagues Jens Piese from Germany, Sascha Rosmüller, I know he was on your show a few weeks ago, and a few other people who has a lot of contacts all around Europe and North America, Australia, and so on, we put together a team of, we were between 12 and 15 people from time to time, of what I consider some of the really sharpest minds in Europe. We had people from 9 different countries, and we tried to work with these European questions, and especially regarding the sad history of Europe, of infighting between Europeans. So we set up a mission to bring European nationalists together. But at that time, it was as a think tank. So we had some success, but we launched the organization last year because we believe that's the way forward to really reach our goals.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to go ahead and give you the website, and we'll give this to you many times over the course of this interview tonight, but it is etnostra.com. That is the letters E-T, Nostra, N-O-S-T-R-A.com for Europa Terra Nostra. And I'm just going to read something straight from the website right now. This is a quote that you provided, Dan. I'm asked, what is the goal of Europa Terra Nostra? ETN works to bring nationalists from all European countries together in order to build a common future, united in real diversity. The challenges we all face today don't allow any more wars between Europeans. A new war would complete the destruction of Europe. So we no longer permit our enemies to play, divide, and rule. We dream of freedom, and we work for it together. It's a powerful opening statement, Dan. It's a powerful opening salvo. What has been the reaction during these formative years?
Well, of course, those are some big words, but this is the vision that we have. And what we have done the last 5 years has been pretty spectacular. Our first, I would say, main project was to bring nationalists from Germany and Poland together. We all know that they have a history. It's not only the Second World War. There's a history going back many, many centuries of wars between Germans and Poles. And it has really been that the nationalists from these two countries, they have hated each other and almost focused more on hating each other than focusing on fighting globalism or mass migration and so on. So We did what we could to bring Germans and Poles together, and from the beginning it was really hard, and of course not everything is solved by now, but I'm really, really proud to say that thanks to the work of Europa Terra Nostra, in 2019 was the first official German nationalist delegation taking part in the big Freedom March in Warsaw in November, and that was a huge, huge step for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope during this opening segment that yours truly and Dan Erickson, the chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, I hope that we've piqued your interest about this organization. But we're going to go a lot deeper into it, what it stands for, why it must be successful, and why you should consider getting involved. And we'll do that right after these words. Stay tuned.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, as I said a moment ago, ladies and gentlemen, I first came to know Dan Erickson, our guest, our featured guest this evening. Some 6 or 7 years ago, I guess it was now, if you can believe it was that long. Time does fly when you're under assault, but it was a while ago. And it always stood out to me, the professionalism with which Dan and his crew at that time were operating under. And it is just so much more impressive now to see him go on to such great success with these organizations. The Free Sweden, the largest ethno-nationalist organization in Sweden. But, of course, Europa Terra Nostra, for which he also serves as the chair, that is the organization which he is on with us this evening to discuss and promote. And I'll speak off the cuff here very quickly, just to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Griffin, who is a somewhat regular guest of ours, was the first to mention Europa Terra Nostra to me a few months ago. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. We asked, Nick, what are you up to today? He says, well, you got to check out this group, Europa Terra Nostra. And then Tom Sunick put me in touch with Sasha Rossmuller just a few weeks back. And then once I started to really look into the organization and I saw my old friend Dan Erickson was on board, not just on board, but serving as the chairman, the decision to seriously look into this group was very easy for me. And if I could say this, Dan, frankly speaking, I don't think that America has anything that compares to the presentation and professionalism that Europa Terra Nostra offers as a membership or advocacy organization. Now, we have some dissident media outlets here that are professional. This program, for instance, American Renaissance, VDare. I don't want to start listing because somebody will be left off the list that otherwise needs to be included. Of course, you've got Red Ice, although I don't know, do we count them as Swedes or Americans? But perhaps a couple of others. But so we have some professional media, but we don't have an organization like ETN over here. And I have been in these trenches like you, Dan, my entire adult life, and ETN really stands out to me. It's not just the mission. It's not just the statements. It's the presentation. You go to your website, and it is absolutely striking, the graphics, the visuals. Yes, of course, the text, the content, but just everything about it, it looks like something you want to belong to. And I know that that doesn't happen by chance. You had to put very careful care and concern and planning into that, and then find the right people to realize a vision. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, this has been a long process, but it started really many years ago by building a network of great European nationalists with different skill sets. And when we when we started Europa Terra Nostra as a think tank, we tried to get all these good people together. And therefore, when we launched the organization, it was a pretty easy step because we had all these fantastic skills in-house. We did not have to pay anyone from the outside. We had a lot of idealistic people who wanted to help and make this a reality. So, of course, it has been a lot of work, and it still is. And I'm very happy to hear that it's also visible for everybody who was not a part of this process, because I know how many late nights and how much sweat and blood and tears went into crafting everything. And I'm just blessed having so many skilled friends and comrades and coworkers.
I'm going to read again, if I can, straight from the website, because, folks, this is the kind of message we need an organization to carry into the court of public opinion and beyond. Europa Terra Nostra, we stand for our Europe, the Europe, whose people have been here since the last ice age, in parts of southern Europe since even during and before the last ice age. We are the indigenous peoples here, the real original Europeans, heirs to a great culture that stretches from ancient cave paintings through the wonderful reminders of our prehistory, Greece, Rome, the High Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and the Industrial Revolution. We Europeans made the modern world, and our inventive genius, technology, and ideals spread civilization, freedom, the rule of law and human dignity around the world. This is our Europe, the Europe of 100 flags, white Europe, for there can be no other. But today, the priceless heritage faces a convergence of catastrophes, encouraged by those who envy and hate us and who wish to dispossess and destroy us. To resist them, to secure a future for our children, the nationalists of Europe must work together, stand together, and fight together. Europa Terra Nostra is here to build practical cooperation, to inspire, to educate, and to organize the coming revolution that will save Europe. Join us. You know, Dan, there is so much to be upset about. There is so much to fret about, so much that could send someone into the depths of despair, that organizations like this exist, that men like you lead it, gives me hope. And again, I'm one who has lived this. So if it inspires me, I must say, I hope it inspires a lot of others as well. I'm sure that it does. That is a powerful statement.
And I think this might be the most important thing that we as nationalists can do today, because when I meet regular Swedes or Germans or other Europeans, they are so depressed. They see no future. They have most of them understand the problems with mass migration, with multiculturalism, and so on, and they can see that we are being replaced. But it's like they believe we have already lost, and nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, and we have so much to be proud of. I mean, when you look at the history of Europe, of the European peoples, we have done so much, and we have won against odds that should be impossible. And to say that we today, because of decades of bad politics, that everything is over, it's just wrong. But we have to inspire, we have to show what is possible. If I can just go back to what we are doing in Sweden, this has been like our main objective, to create an alternative, to show that living as a nationalist, living with traditional values, is possible, and it's even beneficial for you. So we have a lot of Swedish nationalists have moved closer together. We have opened a large house. It's called the House of the Swedes. It's 750 square meters. I guess that's around 8,000 square feet, with a big meeting hall, with a cafe, with a gym, a library. And we invite Swedes to come there and see what Swedish nationalism is really about. And instead of just complaining about the politics, we know that it's really, really bad, and it's getting worse, and it will get worse for a few more years before it gets better. But we also have to show, what is the alternative? What do we want? Not only what we are against. And that's what we are doing in Sweden and also with Europa Terra Nostra. And to bring nationalists of European descent together over the national state borders is crucial, because we will see a financial crisis coming around the corner, and they will use old conflicts. They will use chauvinism and old wars to pit us against each other once more. But this is not beneficial for the Europeans. It's only beneficial for the globalists. So we need to heal those wounds and try to build bridges now before they can destroy Europe once more with a war like we saw two times or three times, if you count former Yugoslavia, in the 20th century.
Well, amen to that, brother, and you're exactly right. And again, just another reason why this organization deserves to grow and to prosper and to thrive. And we want you to be part of that solution, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we do not promote any individual or organization on this program that we do not wholeheartedly endorse. And I can tell you that I wholeheartedly endorse Europa Terra Nostra. etnostra.com. I am, in fact, one of its newest members. I am happy and delighted to tell you that just a couple of nights ago, I submitted my application and my payment for membership, and we are now following that up with a fantastic interview with Dan Erickson, the chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, to further promote and raise awareness of this really one-of-a-kind organization, and we'll be right back, and that will continue.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Johnson & Johnson asked the FDA to clear its experimental COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use, perhaps adding millions more doses to step up a disappointing immunization drive so far. 57.4 million vaccines are out there. Only 35.2 million have been administered. J&J's vaccine was found in the United States to be 72% effective in preventing moderate to severe COVID-19 after a single shot, and 66% effective overall in global trials. It was 100% effective in preventing hospitalization and death. The Senate approved a budget resolution early Friday morning that tees up President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill for passage without Republican support. With the Senate evenly divided, Vice President Harris cast the tie-breaking vote. Lawmakers approved the resolution shortly after 5:30 a.m. local time, known as Vote-a-Rama. The resolution allows Democrats to move forward with an eventual coronavirus relief bill. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I'd have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50. And, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
With Valentine's Day coming up, how much do you think folks will spend this year? USA Radio News' John Clemens reports.
In 2021, those celebrating Valentine's Day are expected to spend a total of $21.8 billion. But according to Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation, that may sound like a lot, but it's way off from last year.
This year, those celebrating plan to spend about $165 on average, which is about $32 less than they spent last year.
Many consumers are committed to celebrating Valentine's Day.
we're seeing a real commitment from consumers to celebrating friends and family, loved ones, even if they're having to alter or adapt those traditional holiday celebrations.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
The American Dairy Association is reporting Americans will eat 20 million tons of cheese on Sunday. This is USA Radio News.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, oh, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Continuing on this hour with Dan Erickson, the chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, all the way from Sweden this evening. He joins us. And folks, again, be sure to check out that website, etnostra.com. You can also follow them on Twitter, at etnostra. And there you'll be reminded that Europa Terra Nostra exists to foster understanding, friendship, and cooperation between nationalists at a European and international level. So I guess that would include those of us here in the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, etc. Dan?
Absolutely. I mean, all people of European descent need to work together. And some of us live also in non-European countries like in Asia or so, and can still be a part of this organization. We still have a lot of common interests.
I want to ask you now about we've talked about the success and why it has had early success in these early years and why people are receptive and enthusiastic to receive such a message and to hear about such an organization and then to go ahead and to join it and to offer support for it. But I am sure that you run the same gauntlets that we are forced to in Sweden and in greater Europe. And you have to navigate around the same obstacles that we do in terms of media censorship and oppression and the state out to, of course, suppress organizations, healthy, right-thinking organizations like this. What can you tell us about that and how you've been able to overcome it?
Yeah, our main obstacle so far has been the financial system. So it's been really hard for us to open a bank account to start with. We solved that, but a few days ago we got an email from Stripe, who handles our card payments, and they canceled our agreement. They said that we belong to a risk group. I don't know if that's something to do with COVID-19, but it sounds like that. So in a few days we can't process card payments anymore. So these kind of things that I guess happens to almost everybody who is some kind of threat to the powers that be. Otherwise, of course, in Europe, you have some really tricky national laws when it comes to freedom of speech. So you have to be a bit careful about what you say, depending on where you are or who you speak to. We actually had a great members meeting yesterday with Tomislav Sunic, who you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And he talked about this, the problem that we don't even know anymore which words we can use and how those words has been transformed into weapons against us. And it's really tricky. I spent a lot of time in Germany, and Germany has some of the worst laws when it comes to freedom of speech in Europe. And you always have to think about it, especially when you talk to media, because they all, of course, try to provoke you into saying something that could be illegal. So I always have to think about it. Like, things that you normally could say in Sweden without a problem could be illegal in Germany. So it can be hard to navigate around. And when it comes to how media has received us, it's the same old. If we are not white supremacists or whatever they call it, we are neo-Nazis or we are, I don't know, something like that. And it's pretty fun to see that when I travel all around Europe, we were also invited to Syria. We were invited to Lebanon to meet people there and get a grasp of the situation in those countries. And you hear those kind of smear words against you. I think we have done more to foster understanding between Europeans than those so-called anti-racists have.
Well, I'll tell you, in some ways, of course, struggle breeds greatness, and we need to be toughened. And I don't want to say, you know, we're learning our lesson and this is making us better. But if something was easy, well, we would fall into this. Well, I was talking about it earlier, the cycle of humans and of civilizations and of nations and the rise and fall and how you go through these different things. But for those of us who can face this adversity and overcome it and work through it, it does make the victory and the satisfaction that much more profound, I think. And I see it there, Dan, on the website. You are able to have these meetings. We're able to have meetings. You have to do it you have to be very nimble to have a meeting, and you have to do it with great care. But you can have great meetings with great people at classy venues if you know how to do it. And obviously you do, because I've seen these pictures of some of the gatherings that y'all have. It looks like packed venues. And that's very encouraging to see, because, again, this is important. You don't want to be meeting at the roadside motel in some dilapidated, dimly lit function space. You want everything about your organization and your cause to look good. You really need the aesthetics, and that's something Europa Terra Nostra has obviously mastered.
Thank you. And I totally agree. There are some people who want to have meetings in garages and stuff like that because it's a fun game to play. It's like being a part of a movie. But this is not a movie. This is our life. This is our destiny. This is the destiny of our European people. So we have to be serious about it and do it as professional as possible to also be able to recruit the right kind of people. And I hope that you will have the possibility to come to one of our meetings in Europe sometime, and because it's so inspiring to meet people from 15, 20 countries, all really, really good people, men and women, married family people with small businesses or with great academic careers or skilled workers. It's so inspiring because I grew up in Sweden, and we were a pretty small movement, and it was in the 90s, it was more of a skinhead movement, it was not a serious thing, and it has developed over the decades, of course. But to see this, the power that lies within the Europeans when we come together, and always interesting discussions, and we can learn so much from each other. Depending on which country you come from, you have different experiences. For example, our friends in Slovakia now I think they are the third largest party in the country with around 10% of the votes. And they also have members in the European Parliament and so on. When you compare that to our friends in Denmark or in Sweden that has no success in the parliamentarian system yet, there's so much we can learn from each other. And also, I think we in the western part of Europe that is more overrun with mass migration and so on, we can sadly act as a warning to the former Eastern European countries, because sometimes they can also be a little bit naive and maybe think that the problems facing Sweden will not happen to them. And I hope it won't, but they have to guard it really good now. Otherwise, they will go down the same road, and nobody wants that.
Well, you're exactly right in what you say, and that is when you have different people, especially in Europe. I mean, Europe is so interesting. I don't know if Americans fully have the grasp of what the landmass of Europe is like when you have this huge country like the United States. But our states are about the same size as or in some cases even bigger than these European nations. So when you can travel across Europe, the bulk of Europe, in about 12 hours, about as much time as it would take me to get down to central Florida, you can span most of the continent, obviously not counting Russia. But so it is interesting, and there are a lot of different variables, and as you said, real diversity between the European peoples. And when you get people together that live in these different nations with different laws and different solutions, you exchange ideas, you break bread, and ideas and solutions do tend to present themselves. And that is why in-person meetings are so very important, and that is another thing that Europa Terra Nostra is is working towards and is, in fact, pulling off and accomplishing. Dan, I know we've spent a lot of time on this particular interview promoting the organization, and rightly so. And we've got you for another segment still, but I want to go ahead and issue to you an invitation to return to the program and appear with us in what we believe is our cleverly worded March Around the World series. And what we do, we started this just last year after 16 years on the radio. It's a relatively new series. This will be our second installment. In the month of March, we feature exclusively guests, leaders, activists, elected officials from other parts of the Western world outside of the United States. And we take we put our finger to the pulse of what's going on in these different European nations. And I'd love to have you back on in March to talk about concerns of our European peoples, general concerns and issues facing the West that we haven't really had a chance to get into tonight, because, again, we're so focused on letting people know about the existence of Europa Terra Nostra. But we will do just one segment on that to wrap things up after the music begins, and we come back in just a moment. So just keep that in mind. But I'll let you begin.
I would love
to
join
this.
You in March.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for accepting the invitation. I'll ask you this when we come back, and then we'll focus a little more on Europe. The top three European nations that we can look at and say, these are the ones that are getting it right, and then the bottom three European nations, they're making mistakes we don't want to repeat. Think about that. We'll ask you when we come back. One more segment with Dan Erickson, chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, etnostra.com.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Stay in
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more segment with Dan Erickson this evening, the chairman of Europa Terra Nostra. But as you just heard, he will be back with us when we take our march around the world, our world tour series. That's not too far away, ladies and gentlemen, when we will kick that off once again. And I want to tell you, it is important to know what kind of organization and what kind of people you are going into league with. And I mentioned before having knowledge of Dan for some years now. But he's a family man, and that's important to me. I am, too. It wasn't too long ago that Dan shared with me a picture of the baptism of one of his children. I shared with him a recent Christmas card, and it's important to have stand-up guys leading organizations, and you've got one here, and you've got a stand-up organization as well. I was asking you before the break, though, Dan, about wider Europe. At your own personal Twitter page, and if you go to ours tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you can link directly over in our promotional tweet this evening to the Twitter handle for Europa Terra Nostra and Dan Erickson himself. You were talking or retweeted about the fertility rate in Hungary. It has increased by 24% between 2010 and 2020. In that same decade, the number of marriages nearly doubled. These are the highest increases in the European Union. This is in Hungary. And as James Kirkpatrick of VDARE, our friend, wrote, it's almost like when you have a government that doesn't work to destroy its own people, people think that their children might have a future and they begin to reproduce. So Hungary is one example. What would you say are the top three European nations that are trending in the right direction?
So we have a few, and I would start by saying that there are no perfect countries in Europe, sadly, but Hungary, absolutely, and Poland is another one that's currently on an interesting political journey. In Poland, you have seen how they have been fighting off multiculturalism. They have made sure that the marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a part of the constitution now. They have made sure that abortion is illegal. It's also a part of the constitution now, I guess. I think
that's wonderful.
How it is now. So Poland are doing a lot of good things, and Hungary as well. And you can see the result, as you said, in Hungary, when you have pro-family, pro-children, pro-life policies, and therefore also a culture around this, that will also give you results. So I think Poland and Hungary are the most interesting countries right now. Without being perfect, they are good examples of what is possible. I would also say that some other countries in the former Eastern Bloc of Europe, like Slovakia, like as I mentioned before, are interesting. The current leadership would be considered far right if it was in Sweden, but I guess it's social democratic in Slovakia. But it's so different, and that's this divide in Europe, the old curtain wall, it's still really relevant when you look at Western and Eastern Europe. So and that's an interesting thing to note, is that the countries that were under communist dictatorship are financially hurt, but morally, spiritually, they are better off than those in the Western part of Europe that has been under, I don't know what to call it, social liberalism for 70 years. But I would say Poland and Hungary absolutely are the most interesting countries doing the right things right now. Not everything, but much more than the other countries.
I think it was a couple of years back, I assume this is still the case, I haven't heard otherwise, that Poland, the government of Poland went so far as to declare Jesus Christ to be the King of Poland. So you definitely have some interesting things going on in nations like that that you would, of course, never hear of if you relied upon the American media, the quote-unquote American media, and so on and so forth. I guess the list of countries going in the wrong direction is pretty readily evident. The UK, I mean, the UK is its degeneracy is even beyond that of the United States, which is certainly very, very hard to do. But rather than ask you that, because we've had such an uplifting hour, I guess you could mention just a couple of the nations that are really just getting it wrong and why, because that'll dovetail into my final question for you. What are the biggest issues facing our brothers and cousins in Europe? But obviously, immigration has to be at the tip of that spear.
Yeah, so I would say that United Kingdom, Sweden, and Germany are the countries who is getting most things wrong. And yes, immigration is a big problem facing us, but it's really just it's just a symptom of something worse. So this is also important to understand. Yes, we talk a lot about politics, but really our fight is not really political. That's just one tool that we can use to go into politics. It's cultural, it's moral, it's spiritual. And if you look in Western Europe, and especially in those countries like United Kingdom, Germany, and Sweden, we are the most secularized countries. We are countries where the people, I live both in Germany and Sweden, so I know these cultures very well. And in both countries, you have these deniers of your own identity. Like there are no Swedish, there is no Swedish people, there is no German people. We are all immigrants. It's like they're trying to copy this left wing thing from the United States, and like, oh, we are all immigrants. So we are a country built by immigrants. And Hassan and Mugabe here they are just as German as I am. And we don't exist, and we don't have a culture. And this is typical for Sweden and Germany. This changes already when you come to France or Spain or Italy. They have other problems. But so because of this this loss of morals and spirituality, we are also receptive to really destructive politics. So the main thing facing us is within us. So that's why we need a cultural, a moral, a spiritual uprising before we can have a political change. So just focusing on political policies, I mean, we should of course discuss them, and we should criticize the politicians and so on, but just focusing on them, then that's also a way like to take responsibility back away from yourself. So instead of saying, I have responsibility to be a better man, and I have responsibility to do something good for my neighborhood or my village or my town, and be an inspiration to lift us up from this. Instead, I just blame the politicians because they are making the wrong decisions. But they can only make these wrong decisions as long as we are morally and spiritually corrupt.
Well, you said it, and you would be. This is what the people are getting right here in the last couple of minutes of this final segment of this hour is what I have in mind to talk about at greater length when we bring you back in just a few weeks in March. And you are a uniquely qualified guest to discuss this from a pan-European perspective, because as you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you have lived in four different European nations. And I would ask you just maybe a 60-second response to this one, Dan, and then we'll go back and plug Europa Terra Nostra one more time before we run out of time. You look at America. America obviously is very different from a lot of these European nations. America is a much younger nation. We don't have a nation to go back to. Sam Dixon was talking about this, my guest, a couple of weeks ago. When the Soviet Union fell apart, those people had nations to go back to. America doesn't have that unless you recross the Atlantic and go back to your ancestral homeland. So it's a different story, but as a European, you look at America, what do you see? What is your take on America? In 60 seconds, it'll just be a teaser for a longer conversation in a few more weeks.
Absolutely. So I look at America with mixed feelings. I find the American Constitution beautiful, and I think it's an inspiration for all of us back home in Europe. And I see the potential of America is so great. But what has been going on, I would say at least the last 50 years, we could discuss how long it's really been going on, has turned the United States into something which I believe is irreparable. So for America, I only see a future for European Americans. I would see a future with secession and trying to create a European future outside of the federal system. How that will happen, I don't know. That's up to you to solve. But I think the last election also showed us that the game is rigged, and we need other ways to work and try to find solutions, because we have the right to exist, we have the right to future, we have the right to prosper. So nobody should be able to take that right away from us, and it's up to us to defend that.
It's a perfect way to close this hour, Dan. What you just said is a wonderful segue back into a true solution, a solution that Europa Terra Nostra is attempting to offer our people. If you are in favor of freedom, of peace and identity, you need to look into this organization, ladies and gentlemen. Join it as I have done this week, Europa Terra Nostra, etnostra.com. Dan, we look forward to talking to you again very soon and to having you on continuously and repeatedly as we move forward and work and collaborate together and learn more about the accomplishments of your wonderful organization. Thank you for staying up with us tonight and spending an hour of your time with us. I know the audience is going to warmly receive everything they've heard.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon, my friend, and we'll be back to wrap up the show with our third and final hour right after this.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.